Good to see everybody here this morning. I'd like to welcome our visitors. If we have any hiding behind masks out there, sometimes it's hard to tell. But we're glad you're all here. And for those of you on Facebook, we're glad you're here too. Welcome to the Lexington Christian Church in beautiful downtown metropolitan Lexington, Indiana.
Population 150.
And two dogs. We do have a couple of announcements this morning. The Christmas committee is going to meet after the service this morning to discuss this and that, see what Mark has for us. And after they're through, then the six-man quartet is going to do a run-through on our special Easter number. So stick around. Mary Crest has some apples and potatoes for us out on the half-round table. So pick those up if you like as we leave. Anything else we need to be aware of, Brother Mitch? Right. We've been having a good time in that class on Revelation. Starts at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoons. The Maundy-Thursday service is on this week. It's going to be a very simple candlelight communion service and starts at 7:30 on April the 1st, which is a week from Thursday. Anyone else have any information for the good of the order? Okay, then let's worship the Lord. Turn to hymn number 11. Oh, we do have birthdays. Somebody must have one or he wouldn't have reminded us. Okay, who has birthdays this week? Somebody's fibbing. Thank you. Thank you. What about anniversaries? Nobody celebrating our anniversaries. Okay. Now, let's continue to worship the Lord. But turn into hymn number 11, Thou Art Worthy, O Lord. Let's stand. Give the Lord praise. For the beauty of the earth.
Oh,
Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Sure. Father God, we are so blessed. Lord, we give you thanks and praise. We do lift our voices in grateful praise. Thanksgiving, because you are the God of all that exists, the God who created everything and sustains everything, including us. So, Lord, we are grateful that you have given us another day to worship and to praise. We are grateful that you have given us another opportunity to come together in your house to lift our voices up to thee. Lord, we are grateful that you've given us another opportunity to show our love for you and for one another. And we ask you, Lord, that as we do this, that you bless us in this place with your presence. Fill this place the way you did the temple of old with a cloud that was so thick people couldn't even go in. So, Lord, we ask that your presence be here in abundance. Touch every heart.
Yes.
Every life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Our communion hymn this morning is number 262. My Jesus, I love thee.
I resign.
Amen. Brother Wayne Morris has our communion meditation this morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning, visitors. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Before Jesus died, God's people sacrificed a lamb each year during the Feast of Passover to remind them that God brought them out of slavery in Egypt. Jesus timed his death to take place at the beginning of Passover, when God's people were sacrificing their lambs. This would show that Jesus' death is the once-for-all sacrifice of God to save his people from their slavery to sin. Amen. Now we remember Jesus' sacrifice by celebrating the Lord's Supper instituted by Jesus the night before he died. We call this communion the Lord's Supper. Some say Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. It is a celebration, but it's also a confession that we need to be forgiven. Amen. Matthew highlights this point as Jesus says that his blood is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Notice also that the disciples were the ones who prepared the meal. They gathered and prepared the food and set the table, as we also do for communion today. Every time we take the bread and the cup, we remember together that we are sinners who needed Jesus to die for us. Amen. We had to set that table. We needed his sacrifice. But in the Lord's Supper, our guilt is met by the saving grace of God. Amen. And as we eat and drink, we are assured that God's saving grace overcomes our guilt because of Jesus' sacrifice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and bringing us together in your house. Lord, be with each mind and each heart as we prepare to partake of the communion representing your blood and your body for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Dear Jesus, make sure we do so in a worthy manner unto you. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye of it." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, Jesus took it and, giving thanks, passed it among them, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Let's stand for the doxology. Continue our praise this morning by turning to number 414. Have thine own way, Lord.
Amen.
You may notice that our hymns this morning are based on the idea of obedience to God, and Christ's obedience to God. Have thine own way, Lord.
Lord, have thine own way.
And number 538, I'll go where you want me to go.
Amen. Brother Wayne, do you have our scripture this morning?
Today's reading is from 21st chapter of Matthew, verses 28 through 33, or 32. The parable of two sons. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." And the son said, "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said unto them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen. It is good to have our visitors, and it's good to have some folks back that have been out because of illness. So we're glad that you're all here. I know the lady in the back that's visiting, her name is Judy. And she sums up my messages for me really well in her comments. Oh, so this morning as we continue on in this study of the book of Matthew, you remember that Jesus had just had a discussion with the leaders, the religious leaders of the day, questioning his authority. They wanted to know, who gave you this authority? So he said, I'll ask you a question, you answer it, and then I'll answer yours. And then he asked them about John the Baptist's baptism. Was it from heaven or was it of earth? And of course, they did not want to answer that because they felt that they were being trapped the way that they were trying to trap Jesus. They wanted him to say that this was of heaven, and then they wanted to try to use that against him. And so instead, he turns it around on them, and they have this little conversation between them. Well, if we say it was of heaven, then he'll say, why didn't you do it? And if we say it's of earth, well, all the people think of John as a prophet, so we better just leave this one alone. We don't know. We don't know. Now, just stop right there for a minute. How many times have we had a discussion with someone who is not a Christian, and you ask them a question about Jesus, and they say, I don't know. Sometimes these people were raised in a church, and they do know. They just refuse to give the right answer. And that was the case here. They knew, of course, that this was from heaven. But they refused to answer. And the reason why is because if they had answered correctly that John's baptism was from heaven, then they already answered their own question about where the authority Jesus had came from. From heaven. And they didn't want to admit that. They were trying to catch him in something. And then as we go on here, what Jesus does is he's schooling them. He's teaching them and chastising them all at the same time. Because immediately after Jesus says, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things, these are his very next words. He begins to tell a parable of the two sons. And in this parable, the two sons represent, of course, Israel's leaders versus the people, that the every ordinary day people. Israel's leaders were unwilling to go. They were the second son. The first son were all of the people who are sinners. All the people like us. People who recognize that, yes, we're sinners, but at some point in our life, we all said no to Jesus, even if it was out of ignorance. We still said no to Jesus, and we lived the life that we wanted to live instead of the life that God commands for us to live. And so that first son then, who first said no, but later changed his mind. That's the one that's getting recognized for doing what the father said. But then he turns around and says, the second son said, oh yeah, I'll go. Well, what were the leaders of that day, the religious leaders of that day? They were the ones that were supposed to have said yes long ago. They were the ones that were leading the people in a religious way. They were the ones that was telling the people what was right and what was wrong. So they had already said yes, they thought. But Jesus is correcting them. He's saying to them, you know, you say yes, but then you won't go. Now, what's he referring to? He's referring to this conversation they just had about questioning his authority. You're not willing to admit. You're not willing to come back and step up and accept the truth that you see right before you. Now, folks, today in our world, we see many people just like this. We see many people who have heard the gospel. Many people who even sat in the pew Sunday after Sunday and say amen. But they have never truly accepted who Jesus is. They want him to be their savior, but they don't want him to be their Lord. Oh no, I'm the master of my own ship. I command my own life. I'm the only person in charge here. There's no room for God. Now, they may not say it that way, but that's the way they live their lives. I know, because I used to be one of them. Amen? Amen. And some of you may think, well, you still are that way. And so, to some degree, you're right. But, you know, it's hard to let go. It's hard to let go. It's easier when we are asked the question about Jesus and putting our faith in him. It's easy to say, yes, then you leave me alone. I did it. I'm okay. That's what we think. But it doesn't work that way. Belief in Jesus implies obedience to him. And if we're going to obey him, we must know what his word says, or we won't know how to obey him. Right? So the word of God is what you guys spend the majority of your time studying and reading, right? Not watching television, not reading the newspaper, not watching the news, not reading novels, not going shopping, not going out, running all over. But you spend the majority of your time reading and studying the word of God. I know you do. Because I keep telling you to, right? It's hard. Our time is so consumed by so many other things. Have you ever stopped to think about how much time we spend on these little things right here? There's a statistic that says the average person who owns a cell phone touches it 2,767 times a day. That's the average, folks. There are people who do it less, and there are people who do it a lot more. And some people have a phone that won't shut up. Hopefully you got it fixed. All right. But, you know, there are things that we think are good. We don't stop to think about how much time it's stealing. You know, I quit watching TV 13 years ago. You know why? Because it stole my time. I sit down in front of the TV and watching MeTV, the old westerns, and I just love that movie. Next thing you know, there's another one coming on. Oh, I love that movie too. And I watch it. Next thing you know, there's another one coming on. Oh, I love that one too. Next thing you know, the whole day's gone. And what have I done? Nothing. So I quit watching it. I'm done. It's hard. It is. We get addicted. We're addicted to electronics. We're addicted to media. We're addicted to many things in this life. And as a result, even though we're saying yes to Jesus, our time is consumed somewhere else other than with him and in his word. And that makes it really hard for us to develop an intimate relationship with him. Jesus is giving them a warning, but he's also giving them an option. You can choose to say no to me, or you can choose to say yes and fool yourself. That's basically what he's saying here. Or you can choose to say yes and really accept the commitment and the responsibility of being my follower, being my disciple, standing with me, reading my word, knowing me, talking to me, spending time with me every moment of every day, and allow me to live through you. Amen? And I know all you guys are doing that because, you know, that's what we do here, right? I lack a lot in that area myself, but I'm striving to improve all the time. You know, I guess it's been, what, 5 or 6 years, Mark, that we've been meeting every morning now.
It's actually longer than that. It's coming up on 8.
Oh, coming up on 8 years. Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But we meet every weekday morning for at least 2 hours to worship, to pray, to read, to study. And I've grown so much in that time. It's just incredible what God has shown me just because I dedicated just 2 hours a day to him. But that's not all. I go home and, you know, I don't watch TV, so... I got rid of Netflix too, by the way. They're just too liberal for me. So now I spend the majority of my time reading. I'm either reading the word or reading a book about the word. Now that's not all I read. I read some mystery novels and things too, but the majority of my time now is spent with God in one way or another. Now, I know not everybody can do that. I know not everybody's retired. Not everybody has, a disability like I do. And it's easier to sit and read than to do other things. But ever since I started dedicating more time, my relationship with Jesus is just blooming and blossoming. It's a beautiful thing. And even though it's not easy, it's what he requires of us all. If you look at the amount of time you spend watching TV, the amount of time you listen to the radio, the amount of time you read novels or newspapers, watching the news even, these are not bad things. I'm not saying these things are bad. But when they take more of your time than your time with God, then guess what? They have become idols. They have become your God because you spend more time with them than you do with him. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that I find very scary because it's so easy. The flesh is so easy for the devil to fool into thinking that we're doing something good when actually we could be doing something great. You understand what I'm saying? We need to learn to pay attention. Have I been this first son? Have I been the one who has said yes? The second son, I'm sorry. Have I been the one that said, yes, I'll go, sir, but then I get occupied with other things? It may not even be that we don't intend to do it. We may very well intend to do it. We say, yes, Lord, but then we get a phone call. Then we get a text message or an email, and God forbid you get a letter that somebody typed or wrote. I don't think that happens anymore, but anyway, it's a thing of the past mostly. But, you know, it's so easy for us to get sidetracked, especially when it comes to doing God's will. Why? Because the devil tries his best to make sure we don't follow through on our relationship with Jesus. You know, in Genesis 3:15, it says that the seed of woman will be at enmity with the seed of the devil, the serpent. Now, enmity means we're at war, folks. You know, Mark and I was talking a little bit about this morning. We're all in a spiritual war. You don't have a choice in that matter. As of Genesis 3:15, mankind is in the war, spiritual battle. What you can do is choose which side you're on and then stand and fight. You hear me? You can choose which side you're on. And you can stand with God and go to heaven, or you can stand with the devil and receive his reward in the pit of hell, where the fire's never quenched and the worm never dies. I don't know about you, but that's kind of frightening to think about for me. I don't want to go there. So I choose life. I choose Jesus. I don't want to be this second son that says yes and then allows myself to be distracted from building my relationship with Jesus, from obeying what he actually said. I don't want to make a half-hearted attempt at the last minute at what he wants me to do, but rather I want to prayerfully do what he says the way he wants it done. You know, there was a time in Moses' life. Everybody knows Moses, right? Let's see a show of hands. You know who Moses is? Yeah. Moses, one of the greatest characters in the Bible, by the way. You know, he's probably referred to more than about any other person in the Bible, especially from the Old Testament. But Moses, at one point, was told to speak to the rock, and he smacked it instead. Why? He got distracted. He was angry. He was frustrated. And so he failed to give God the glory by obeying exactly what he said to do his way. Now, he did do what God said, but not the way God said to do it. And God honored that by giving the people water from the rock. But it cost Moses a trip into the land of inheritance. So, when we allow ourselves to get distracted, whether it's by frustration or whether it's by a TV series or a novel series or by the evening news or whatever it is, when we allow that to pull us away from our time that we should be spending with God, there's going to be consequences, folks, just like there was for Moses. Aaron had consequences too. Anytime we disobey God, there's consequences. It may not be right now, may not be right here, but there will be. So, I want to ask us this morning to look at our lives and evaluate, which son do we represent? Are we the first son that originally said no, but later came around and did honor his father, did obey what his father said? Or are we that second son that right off the bat said, yes, sir, I'll go right now, but for whatever reason, we didn't do it? Which one are we? Where do we stand? Think about that. And if you have a need this morning, just mind the Lord and come as we sing or pray where you are. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 539. Where he leads me, I will follow. Stand and sing, please.
Bob and Jeannie, come on up here. Got your new member packets for you. Our newest members. All right. That's yours.
Thank you.
And that's yours. And in there is your certificate that your members and some other information. There's a Bible marker with the books of the Bible and a ink pen for you. So welcome to the family. Good to have you guys. Amen. Amen. Ah, all of God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. Thank you. All right, Brother Bob, turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I guess